with the world in the jug and the stopper in your hand. God ain't going to put up with it. There's a scripture in the Bible. Now listen to this one. Listen to this. This is a great scripture in the 9th chapter of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, verse 7 through 9. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart. For God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with a wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity. For that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Live joyfully with a wife. Now, that's some way to express that, isn't it? Whom thou lovest all the days of thy vanity. That's not talking to a Christian, but it does say live joyfully with your wife. I want to give you one now that's for a Christian. Now, that's for a sinner. All right, in the 5th chapter of Proverbs, you'll read one here that's to a Christian, beginning in verse 15. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. People ask me about how you're supposed to love your wife or husband. I don't answer that very many times in my life. Have I ever given anybody a definitive answer on that? How am I supposed to love my wife or my husband? What do we do when we have our honeymooning? Huh. You need to come ask me all them questions. You know, there's some things in this Bible stranger than fiction. I ain't going to enter into that. I'm going to speak where the Bible speaks, and I'm going to be silent when the Bible is silent. There's a scripture in the Bible, though, I would refer you to about the bed being undefiled and your honeymooning. I don't tell you nothing about your secret things. They belong unto the Lord our God. I don't want it. But there's a scripture in Romans 2, 14 and 15. He said, when the Gentiles, and that's what you are, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Their conscience also the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another before God. In Romans, the 14th chapter is a chapter on conscience. It says, him that is weak in the faith receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. For one who's weak eateth herbs, and one that's strong eateth meat. And it says, don't let him that is strong judge him that eateth no meat, and you that eat herbs or eat meat, don't you judge him that don't eat no meat, and the vice versa. And then it says, one keeps one day and another keeps another. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind, for he that eateth to the Lord, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not. If he keeps a day, he keeps a day to the Lord, he regards it, and if he don't keep the day to the Lord, he regardeth it not. And he said, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. You hear this stuff about sex and honeymooning and the manner in this and that and the other, and the manner and the ways that you love your wife or husband. You let your conscience condemn you or exonerate you before the Lord. But you be open to the Holy Ghost. You be open to the Holy Ghost. Because perverted sex is something that God condemns. And if God condemns you about anything, you be condemned. But if he don't, Let your conscience be your guide. That's the only thing you can do about things that God has not explicitly said. But back to Proverbs 5. Your wife of your youth, let her be as a loving hind and a pleasant robe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Ravished? That means sometimes you feel like you could eat her alive. You ever felt like that? You're supposed to. That's what the Bible said, ravished. Ravished? That means somebody just starving to death. Good grief in this world. Woo! Come here, honey. I could just eat you. One fella said, I married my wife. I felt like eating her. And 10 years later, I wished I had. Well, it's not supposed to work like that. That's not the way it works. All right, verse 20, Proverbs 5. Why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? You're not supposed to be mucking around after you marry with strangers. For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his going. A lot of these Christians today, this charismatic mess, said, well, we're brothers and sisters in the Lord, and two unclean things don't hurt each other. Yeah, but a stranger means a woman that you have not had a honeymoon with. Any woman that you've never slept with, we would put it this way, is a strange woman. Now, God ain't talking about somebody you don't know. He's talking about somebody you don't know in the Bible terms of knowing, and that means you don't know that woman sexually. And that's a strange woman. The Lord says, hey, don't you touch her. It says, for a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord. His iniquity shall take the wicked, and he'll be holden with the cords of his sins. He'll die without instruction. In the greatness of his folly, he'll go astray. Haven't said much about courtship. But I'll tell you one thing. Until a couple is engaged, you don't have any business kissing that girl or doing nothing around her. Now, if you're engaged, then you might kiss her goodnight. Otherwise, leave her alone. If you want to know the rules on engagement, the way God looks at it, read Ruth. The book of Ruth, chapters 1 and 2. You can get enough right there to realize how God, and all through the Old Testament, gives many, many illustrations of courtship. It was based on a very high regard for the institution of marriage. And they didn't bother around and start stirring up lust. And that old instinct did not control them. They had self-control. They had sex control. And they had birth control, if you please. Praise God. All right, after you're married, you've got the problem then. You know good and well you're going to have a lot of young'uns if you're not careful, unless your wife is barren. You can have all the babies you want, I guess, just as hard as you can go. There's nothing in this Bible that says birth control is not a valid practice with a man and his wife. I don't know how you do it. I'm not going to talk to you about that. You go talk to a doctor or somebody. But I tell you, the best way to control births is to have self-control. The Bible tells us in Galatians 5:27 that the last fruit of the Spirit, number 9, is temperance or self-control. That'll help you with birth control. Sex is a greatly overrated virtue. We put too much premium upon it, and too much of our instinctiveness operates when it's not love and it's not affection. It's just pure old animal instinctiveness that drives most people into their honeymooning operation that should many times be avoided, and wait until such and such a time as it's worked out in a more wise manner. Soberness. Soberness. Be sober. Be thoughtful. Don't be controlled by instinctiveness. Something that is just an inner feeling that arises that you have no consciousness, neither control over it. Now, God made us in his own image, with self-control, because we have a soul from which our affections emanate forth from. Man for a wife, wife for a husband, a boy for a girl, and so forth. But I'll tell you one thing, after you're married, you're not supposed to have babies as hard as you can have them. Now, I'll give you some scripture for that. First, 1 Timothy 5:8 says, I know a lot of people say, well, it didn't mean that. Well, let's see if it didn't mean it. 1 Timothy 5, the 8th the 5th chapter of 1 Timothy, the 8th verse. You need to mark it. If any provide not for his own, that's your own family, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. If you can't take care of a bunch of kids and you're going to break your wife's health down and you can't provide the spiritual nurture and discipline for that family, God said you're worse than an infidel for getting them kids to start with.